Hallelujah. Well, in preparing for today, I learned yesterday, I didn't know this before yesterday, that the message I shared with you last month, it was actually Sunday, October 7th, God's Purpose and Plan. That was part one. So today is going to be the follow-up from last month's message. So if you were not here, I encourage you, you can get the message on our website. It was Sunday, October 7th, 2018, and the title is God's Purpose and Plan. But I'll just share, I'm not going to go through a review, but there were key scriptures that we used because the understanding we came away with was God has a purpose and a plan for everyone's life, right? It's not about our purpose. We do have thoughts and agendas and opinions and aspirations, and we should. But all of that must be submitted to God for his direction, his guidance, because ultimately our purpose here in life is according to his plan. So we looked at last month, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. In the New Living Translation, it says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." We also looked at Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. And it says, out of the New Living Translation, "And we know that God causes everything," say everything, "to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to whose purpose? His purpose for them." How many of us love God? How many of us are walking out God's plan for our lives? You're going to ask yourself a question at the end of today's lesson. I'm going to share with you some scriptures, and this is not a trick, but not a test, but we're going in a direction. As my brother Elder William taught me, we're going somewhere. But I'm going to share some scriptures that are going to help us center in the direction that God wants for today, picking up from last month's message. Turn, please, to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verses 22 and 23. Out of the New King James Bible, it says, "The steps of a good man are ordered," say ordered, "by the Lord." That's okay. Say ordered. That's it. By the Lord. I'll say it again. Say ordered. Stop. By the Lord. That was my part. "And he," I only needed you to say the word ordered. "And he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." In the New Living Translation, that verse says, "The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord upholds them by the hand." That word ordered and strong means that our steps are fixed. God firmly establishes our steps. He arranges and he prepares our steps. Psalm 32, verses 8 and 9. I'm going to be moving quickly in the scriptures, so if you can listen or just take notes and then go back to them after the message. Psalm 32, verses 8 and 9 in the New King James says, God is speaking, and he says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye." Verse 9 is very key. "Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with a bit and bridle, else they will not come near you." What is a common thought regarding a mule? Amen. Stubborn. God is saying to us, he orders our steps, but he's telling us, don't be stubborn. I will instruct you, I will teach you, I will guide you in the way that you should go. Psalm 23, we're very familiar with this passage of scripture, verses 1 through 3. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me, say leads me, in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. I'm going to read verse 3 out of the New Living Translation. The Lord guides me along the right paths, bringing honor to his name. Now, we saw the words lead and we saw the word guide. What does it mean to lead? Very simply, and it's not a trick question, it means to guide. So how many of you have either in your vehicle or on a phone or on some device you have GPS? So if you're going into a direction, an area, a town, a place that you are not familiar with, and you plug in an address or a location in your GPS, what are you expecting from it? You're expecting it to direct you, right? You're not expecting to hear the song, "Oh, Nearer My God to Thee." You're not expecting to hear "Mary Had a Little Lamb" or "What are you having for dinner tonight," right? You're expecting to receive direction because this thing, this device, is programmed and its purpose is to give you direction. Well, God told us last month that we are living or living out a plan according to his purpose. But today, he's telling us how we are to live out that plan and that purpose. In the Old Testament, God led and guided his people primarily through the law of Moses and through those who stood in the office of the priest, the prophet, or the king. God mostly worked through human leaders. I'm talking Old Testament. God worked through human leaders who served as God's voice of guidance and direction. Examples of that is in Joshua chapter 1. God tells us in Joshua chapter 1, the book of the law, that was the word of God to them. That was the instruction manual to them, the law. The book of the law was not to depart from them. They were to meditate, focus, pay attention to, rely on, consult with it day and night. That was their GPS system. Examples of how God used or operated or gave direction through the Old Testament leaders. Moses was the voice of God who gave direction and guidance to the children of Israel as they were coming out of Egyptian captivity. The prophet Samuel was the voice of God who got God's direction in appointing Saul and then later David to their positions of king in Israel. God also, in the Old Testament, guided his people through signs and wonders. When the children of Israel were leaving Egyptian captivity, God led them by a cloud during the day. That was their GPS. When the cloud moved, they moved. And he guided them by a pillar of fire at night. So in the Old Testament, God did use signs and wonders to give direction to lead his people. Now, this is the key for today. In order for God to lead us, what do we have to do? Well, I hear a lot of sounds like tongues, but I don't have an interpretation. So let me put it this way. If I am leading Jackie, what is Jackie's response? Today's message is following God's lead. Because it's one thing to know God has a purpose and a plan for our life. But if we don't ever seek him for his guidance and we don't adhere to, follow, and pay attention to his guidance and his direction, we could very well miss the true fullness of God's purpose and plan for our lives. In the New Testament, during the time of John the Baptist, John had the message of repentance to tell the people to turn from their sins. In John's time, Jesus came. Jesus, during his earthly walk, was the manifested voice, the guide, and the direction of God in the earth at that time. Let's see what Jesus said about himself. Turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 5. And the caption is, Jesus is referring to himself as the true shepherd. What does a shepherd do? A shepherd leads, but he also watches over. He protects, he gives direction, and he provides for the flock. So Jesus is saying in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 5, I'm reading out of the New King James Bible. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Verse 3. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. What do the sheep do? And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So if the shepherd is leading the sheep, what are they doing? Verse 4. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. That is key. Verse 5. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, the stranger, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. Key points in that passage. In order for the sheep to know the voice, they have to know their shepherd. There is a familiarity there. There has to be a presence there. There has to be time to develop a relationship, a rapport there. So if you're standing out on Route 59, and someone calls out your name and you don't know that voice, you are not familiar with that voice, are you likely to respond to them? How much more should we be when God is talking to us? Continuing in John chapter 10, verse 17, verse 7, Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, he makes it clear and he makes it plain, I am the door of the sheep. Drop down to verses 14 through 16. He makes it even clearer. I am, Jesus speaking, the good shepherd, and I know my sheep. He is familiar with his sheep, and I am known by my own. Verse 15. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. He is pointing to the totality of the body of Christ. Because we in this room here, while there are many of us, we are not all of the body of Christ. There are fellowships and Christians all over the world. But they are all a part of the body of Christ. And there's one head, one shepherd, one lead of the body of Christ. That's Christ Jesus. So when the head gives a direction, whether it's in Egypt or whether it's in Brooklyn, when the head gives a direction, whether it's in Nanuet or whether it's in Kentucky, what must be the responsibility of the body? But the body must be in connection, in fellowship, in relationship with the head. Because we cannot say that our shepherd, God, Christ Jesus, does not give us guidance. He does not tell us what to do. We have to ask ourselves, are we really seeking him and then following his instruction? Because instructions are not always what we want to hear. Instructions will not always be comfortable or make sense. But how many of us really believe, and this is a question we're going to get to at the end of the lesson, how many of us really believe that as we saw last month, that God has a good plan for his people, that God will work it all together for our good? So if and since we say we believe that, then do we really follow? Makes you think. Drop down still in John chapter 10, verses 22 through 27. Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. Jesus walked into the temple in Solomon's porch. Verse 24. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Verse 26. But you do not believe me because you are not of my sheep. Do you see how Jesus qualified that? When we don't believe God, we're acting like he's not our shepherd. When we refuse to follow the direction of the shepherd, whether in the written word, whether by the leading of the Holy Spirit, when we insist on what we want, we need, we deserve, and we are going after, we are saying, this is the sheepfold. I'm stepping over here because I got a better way to do this. Really? Says something. Listen to verses 26 and 27 in the Amplified Classic. But you do not believe and trust and rely on me because you do not belong to my fold. You are no sheep of mine. Those are words we never want to hear Jesus say to us. The sheep that are my own hear and are listening to my voice, and I know them and they follow me. The New Testament church, which we are a part of, is led, directed by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. And the Word and the Spirit are our GPS. Now, there are what I call subsidiary references in Christianity. And by that I mean, God can and he does, as you are listening to me today, God can and he does through a minister, through a leader, speak revelation or truth to you that already bears witness with your spirit. It can confirm what God has already been talking to you about, what God has already been saying to you. You may have had a question about something, and through the minister, through the office that the person is standing in, God can speak through them to clarify and answer the question. But the actual direction, the actual guidance, the actual revelation comes from God. And so I'm going to say this. Please hear me. While every gift in the body of Christ, every fivefold gift is absolutely necessary, God never intended any Christian to live our lives by the sole direction of another human being, no matter how spiritual they are. And we as Christians must take the time and develop the relationship with God our Father, with Jesus Christ our Lord, know his word and become intimate with his spirit, so that when another voice, no matter what title or label it has, says something, whether it's direction, whether it's instruction, whatever it is, if it does not bear witness with the spirit of God in you, if it contradicts what God has said in his word, put it on a shelf. Because God is your lead. God is your source. God is your director. And sometimes we get a little mixed up in Christianity. We are to honor and respect every gift. And I'll say this about myself as a minister of the gospel. If I share something with you and it doesn't bear witness with your spirit, you are under no obligation to follow what I said. Because God is your source. God is your lead. And he will lead you into all truth. We're going to see that in the scripture. So let's keep it in proper perspective. It is not to dishonor. It is not to dismiss or to deny the gifts. Just like the prophet, the priest, and the king in the Old Testament, they were the voice of God to the people. But in the New Testament, Christ opened the way. The veil in the temple was rent, and the way to the Holy of Holiest was made available so that we all could enter in. And so that by his spirit, he resides in every believer. And we don't have to go to a physical high priest to get our direction, to get our leading. Yes, we can get wisdom from them, and we should honor that. But keep it clear, people. Keep it straight. Because too many Christians allow themselves to be moved and directed and swayed by what another human being said. And while we mean well, I'm not saying anybody's doing it on purpose. While we mean well, how many of us have had a situation or experience where we thought we heard God? And we made a decision. We took a step. We took an action only to find out that wasn't God. God didn't fall off the throne. That's a part of walking out the relationship with him. So he is the one that says, uh-uh, baby, no, 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 that wasn't me. That was what you wanted to do, and you just spiritualized it and said, okay, since I didn't hear any rolling thunder telling me, no, I could do this. God said, no, I gave you a will. I gave you a choice. And that's key in following. That's why the verse says, don't be like a mule, because our will is involved. We have to willingly submit our will to God in following him, believing that his direction, his guidance, and his instruction is better than what we know. Hallelujah. Throughout the New Testament, in the Gospels, Jesus spoke about the significance of the Word of God. I'm going to share some references with you. Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. This is when Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted by the devil. Now the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But Jesus answered and said, it is written. He had to know the word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I'm going to insert this here. There's absolutely nothing wrong with acknowledging and recognizing that someone you know in the body of Christ is an intercessor. There's nothing in recognizing that someone you know you have respect for because they are a mature Christian and you believe that they can give you guidance and wisdom. But I will say this to you. Shame on us when we don't do our own work as a Christian. We subject ourselves to error. The word of God is made available to every person in the body. If it's just one scripture, we have to apply ourselves to the word of God. So I can't keep going looking for sister so-and-so or brother spiritual or this one who knows how to pray because I need to get my answer. I believe that they are more spiritual than me. I need to do my own homework because God is no more a respecter of persons. So he will reveal to me just like he reveals to them. We can build one another up and support, but we are not to be one another's stand. Only Christ died for us, and he is the head of the body. So every Christian has a responsibility to do your own work. And by that, I mean develop your own relationship with God. Spend time in the word so that when somebody is speaking what is not true to you, you will know by the Spirit, that's not God. Oh, I'm trying to get through this. Okay, where was I? So Jesus said, Matthew, I tell you, I love the word. It's my passion. Matthew 4, 3 and 4, Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Mark chapter 16. I think this is Mark 16. Forgive me if it's not, because I copied and pasted, and I'm sure I left out a verse. But listen to this. It's in the book of Mark. I got that part right. Jesus is explaining the parable of the sower. And he says, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground. And the seed is what, family? The seed that Jesus is explaining, it's the word of God. So he said, these likewise are ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves. And so they endure only for a time. We've not grown and matured and developed in our relationship with God. So there's no root in us to stand. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Verse 18. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of this world the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things entering in chokes the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Verse 20 is key, because this is what every believer should be aspiring to do. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Put your hand on your heart and say, I'm good ground. These are the ones who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. It produces for them some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. John chapter 6, verse 63. Jesus said, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, who speaks? The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Romans chapter 10, we're talking about the significance of the word of God as in us, for us as Christians following God's lead. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Key point. That says faith comes by hearing. Do you know hearing is present tense? It didn't say it comes by having heard. So that tells me that I must keep the word of God constantly before me. I must hear it, whether I'm hearing it audibly, that somebody's preaching it, but more so, I should be hearing it as I'm reading it. I should be hearing it as I'm confessing it. I should be hearing it as I'm studying it. So that's why the scripture doesn't say faith comes by having heard. Let me tell you, like the children of Israel learn, you cannot live on yesterday's manna. There are revelations and there are truths that we gained and gleaned yesterday, last week, 10 years ago, and they are significant and they are key. But I promise you, live another month, live another year, and it'll be like you're drying up if you don't stay reading, feeding on the word of God. Our spirit mans are not meant to live off of yesterday's manna. We are to be ever hearing the word, ever reading the word, because we are building up our spirits and it's fortifying us, it is strengthening us, it's equipping us, and it's giving us God's direction how we are to walk out this plan and this purpose that he has for our lives. And Psalm 119, 105, we know this very well. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Well, a lamp gives illumination. So if we're walking in areas that seem uncertain or unfamiliar, there's a song we used to sing years ago, Lord, we've not been this way before. And it's like, Lord, you've told me to do this. Lord, you've told me to go here. Lord, you've told me to start this. Lord, you told me to stop this. But it's unfamiliar to me. And it's uncomfortable to me. And nobody seems to be going this way with me. The word of God, his direction in us, to us, through the written word and by the Holy Spirit, is the lamp that guides our feet. And it is the light for our path. So Jesus tells us about the significance of the word. But then he also tells us our other GPS system, the person of the Holy Spirit. Turn to John chapter 14. So in order to successfully, as Christians, walk out the plan and the purpose for God, we have to be willing to follow his lead. And as he leads us through his word and by his spirit, sometimes it seems like, how many of you ever been what I call, I don't know if they call it this today, but it was in the carnival. It was like a maze and it was all mirrors in it. And you had to work your way through to find your way out. And if you were like me, I got frustrated very quickly. And I stood there and I had a meltdown. And somebody, one of my sisters or somebody had to come get me because I was like, I can't find my way. And I'm just upset because it was like, this is too hard. I turn here, I bang into myself. I turn here, I bang into myself. Some of us are banging into life. Why? Is it possible that we're not taking the time to get God's direction? Is it possible we're not willing to wait? Timing is very key. For those who've been here, when our founder, Pastor Clinton, made these statements, he would often use the example where God is telling somebody, I've called you to go into ministry. Well, I'm going to bring it home today. I've called you to start a business. I've called you to be married. I've called you to relocate. I've called you to make this change. And we automatically get that word and we take off and we're making it happen. And God is saying, just not now. I'm preparing you. I'm putting things in place and in order. So I need you to back it up and come back to my place of instruction. And then as I give you the next step, you take that. That requires patience. That really requires patience to follow God's lead. Because some of us, we get the initial statement and we're gone. We're making it happen. And when things seem to be falling into place, we're like, oh yeah, I know God is in this because everything is working out. I heard a minister say something recently and it made me think. He said, be very mindful when you make decisions for your life. Because a decision that you make today in 3 seconds will impact you in 3 years. So if that decision is not God-led, is not God-determined, some of us will face consequences. And God in his mercy, God in his grace, God in his love will help us. But his ultimate desire was that we would wait and let him tell us when and tell us how. So I say this to those, especially in the area of business and in education. Be very mindful of what decisions you make. Never be in a hurry, regardless of what clock seems to be ticking, regardless of what dollar value seems to be before you. Always be willing to consult with God and ask him, is this your time? Is this your direction? And don't think that just because you don't hear a thunderous no, that you can just proceed. You'll have a witness on the inside. Because if it's not God-led, then we've got to make it happen. It's easier to let God work it out in his timing, and we don't have to try to do it. So in John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17, Jesus speaking, he promises another helper. I'm reading this out of the New Living Translation, and it says, if you love me, so he's talking about relationship there. If I really, really love Jesus, I can't say that I love him and I'm back here and I don't have any interaction with him. I don't have any fellowship with him. I don't have any communication with him. How many of you are married? So if your spouse tells you on January 3rd, I love you, and today is what, November 4th? And you don't hear another word from them. They don't do anything else for you. How much are you remembering on January 3rd that they said, I love you? There has to be a continual interaction. There must be a relationship established, and there is communication that must take place on a consistent, regular basis. So Jesus says, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another, the King James says, helper, the New Living Translation says, advocate, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit, who leads into all truth. So there's no deception in the Holy Spirit. There ain't no maybe, could be, possibly so. He's definitely true. He's definitely telling us the truth, whether we want to hear it or not. Because he only has truth to tell. The world cannot receive him, Jesus speaking, because it isn't looking for him and it doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and will be in you later. That word advocate in the New Living Translation is from a legal term, and it simply means a person who defends, who supports, and who maintains the cause or the interest of another. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He defends, he supports, and he maintains our benefit, our purpose, our life in this earth when we are willing to follow his lead. Because remember, it's always about our choice. It's always about our response. And our response will determine the outcome of whether we're led by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, or simply we're just going along. Because there is a difference. There is a major difference between existing as a Christian and living the God-filled life. There's a major difference between just coming to church and going through the motions and living a spirit-led life, having activity, having conversation, having adventures in Christ. He's not boring. Sometimes we want to say, could you hold up a minute, God? I ain't finished this part. But the reality of it is he's got a purpose and a plan for us. And as we follow him, as we submit our will to him, he's going to guide us through it. Verses 25 and 26 in John chapter 14. I'm still in the New Living Translation. Jesus speaking says, I'm telling you these things now while I am with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you, say teach you, everything and will remind you, say remind you, of everything I have told you. So key points. Jesus tells us the role of the Holy Spirit. He tells us what he's going to do for us. He's going to teach us. That means we don't know everything. I don't care how many degrees or how many life experiences we've had. He's going to reveal. He's going to make it known. How many times have, if you're like me, I'll raise my hand. You just know you got the plan. You know you're going to do A, B, C, D, and it's done. Your day is set. And you get to B, and he's like, go back to A. What? You see what time it is? I got to get to the office. Go back to A. That's where our will comes into place. It is, and let me explain it to you this way. He's not going to beat us over the head to make us do it. The Holy Spirit is so gentle. Yes, at times he can be very demonstrative and you get a strong knowing, but there are times when you are so familiar. I'm going back to husbands and wives. How many of you husbands know your wife's scent? You know her perfume. You know when she's in the house. You know when she's walked by. You know her scent. I see your hand, Robert. I know you know Denise's scent. My God, if that's not a couple demonstrating the love of God. But the reality of it is, when we are so familiar with the person of the Holy Spirit, he won't have to beat us over the head. Sometimes it will be just a whisper. Sometimes it'll be just a gentle knowing. And we may think, ooh, that was an interesting thought. I'll tell you like God tells me, Dolores, you ain't that smart. That was me. That's just how he says it. Dolores, you're not that smart. That was me. Oh! So the Holy Ghost will teach us and remind us of everything that God has told us. Turn to John chapter 16. Don't y'all tell the pastors I kept y'all here late today. John chapter 16, verses 12 through 14. In the New King James Bible, it says, there, Jesus still speaking, there is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. Verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he's referring to the Holy Spirit, he will guide you. Say, guide me. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. Verse 14, he will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. So God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit will guide us, give us direction. But the Holy Spirit was sent to be our internal GPS, to be our internal leading. I'm going to use this as an example. When my sister Denise, who I wanted to shake an hour ago, said what she said by the Spirit of God about the people who had needs, and when she said, Minister Dolores will minister to you, my natural mind said, no, she won't. But my spirit within heard, yes. That's the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so sometimes we have to be mindful that as we become more familiar with God, when we become more familiar with his leading, we won't have to second guess. We'll know that that's his prompting. It's not always going to be by a trumpet blast. It's not going to be by a billboard flashing down in the nighttime saying, go here, go here. But it will often be by the gentle inward witness that says, yes, this is of me, or no, stop that, this is not of me, or wait, I have something else in store. But going back to our will, are we willing to wait and submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit? Because God's timing is always right. You know, we can see and know what God has promised and spoken to us, and we just want to make it happen. I had in prayer yesterday, I said to the Lord, I was remembering an episode on the Cosby Show. I hope I can say this on the stream. I was remembering an episode on the Cosby Show, and the little girl Olivia was leaving with her parents to go to Singapore. And so the grandfather was telling her, get prepared, you're going to Singapore. So she's heading towards the door with her suitcase. I'm going to Singapore. I'm going to Singapore. And he's holding her from behind, pulling her back. And he's saying to her, but keep going, keep going. But she's pulling her back. And I laughed and I said, Lord, sometimes I feel like that's what I'm doing. Like I'm trying to get through this door and you're like, wait. And I want to say, but why? And God says, because I know what's best. There are things I'm preparing out there for you. There are people that I'm putting in place. There are relationships I'm establishing. There are business deals I'm working out. There are paths that I've called you to walk in. And I know that just right now, you're not ready. You're not ready. And so because I love you that much, I will hold you as I build you up and prepare you for what I've called you to do. But God says, will you wait? Will you trust him in that? That's the key word, and I'm wrapping this up. The Holy Spirit in Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. That word led in Strong's means that the Holy Spirit directs us. He leads us by laying hold of us. And then I need a human being. Rachel, come here for a minute, please, honey. One of the things you learn with Minister D, this is interactive teaching. So I'm, for the sake of this lesson, the Holy Spirit. I'm not God, but for the sake of this lesson, I'm the Holy Spirit. Rachel, God is saying to you, do you see where Deacon Kevin is? God says, go walk to Deacon Kevin. Do you see what I'm doing? Run. Do you see what I did? So when God says the direction is here, thank you, Rachel. When God says the direction is there, when God says give that amount, and you say, have you looked at my bank account lately? And so we're going trying to sell houses and shoes and jewelry and everything, trying to make it happen. And God says, hold up. I told you you were going to give the check for $80,000, but I have to tell you when it's coming. I have to tell you how you're going to do it. I told you you're going to get married, but let me bring them to you. I told you you're going to go into business, but let me work it out for you. Because when God says there, he's got the plan for us to get there. But the key factor in following the lead of God is trust. Trust. Because if I really trust somebody, they can take me somewhere. Rachel had to trust me to get out of her seat. She didn't know what I was going to tell her, but she trusted me. For us to allow God the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct us, we must believe and trust that he is God. We must believe and trust that he knows the true and the best plan of God for our lives. Because if we say we love God and yet we refuse to follow his leading, can we honestly say we trust him? I'm going to give you quickly some examples of trust in the Bible. Luke chapter 5, verses 4 through 6. Peter had gone fishing. They had been out fishing all night. And Jesus says to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing, and this is key, but if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. Peter, who was a professional fisherman, he was a businessman. You don't think he knew where the fish were? You don't think he had done this umpteen times in so many years? But yet when Jesus, who was not a professional fisherman, who was a professional carpenter, who was revealed to them as the master, said to him, but go deeper. And God is saying this, go deeper in me. Go deeper in my word. Go deeper in my spirit. Because some things God is saying to us, we're not going to get it on the Sunday morning worship service. But you'll get it in the Tuesday afternoon when you turn off the TV and take your lunch break and say, talk to me, Jesus. God says some things are not going to be surface. But to know the true plan and purpose for your life, God says, come out and launch in the deep. Because my spirit will reveal to you there what are the steps and the patterns and the moves and the changes that have to be made. And like Peter said, but at your word, I'll do it. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said to the Father in Mark chapter 14, verses 35 and 36, and Jesus went a little further. He was with his disciples, and he took Peter, James, and John even further into the garden, and he fell on the ground, and he prayed that if it is possible, the hour might pass from him. Let me read it to you in the New Living Translation. He prayed that if it is possible, the awful hour awaiting him might pass him by. And he cried out in verse 36 in the New Living Translation, Abba, everything is possible with you. Please take this cup of suffering from me. Father, I don't want to wait so long. Father, I don't want to take on all of this. Father, I don't want to give this money. Father, I don't want to keep my mouth shut when I want to tell somebody what my opinion is. Father, I don't want to do it this way. But yet Jesus said, who was facing at that point separation from his Father. Do you honestly think that a natural man without the Spirit of God in him could stay in that moment, knowing the suffering, the anguish, the pain that was going to be inflicted upon him, and he was not guilty. And yet, when he says, Father, if there's any other way we can do this, and then he says, yet I want your will to be done and not mine. So what choices are we making? What decisions are we making that we're facing that look profitable, look beneficial, look comfortable, convenient, fun, reliable, but yet the Spirit of God and the Word of God is saying, wait. No, not there, not them, not now. And are we willing to say, as Jesus says, yet I want your will to be done and not mine. Jesus had to trust his Father God's plan for the purpose of his human life, even when he knew that plan included physical suffering, death, and separation from the Father. Jesus had to trust that God would take care of him in the midst of what he was facing. What does trust mean? It is assured reliance, confidence on the character, the ability, the strength of someone else. So do we have assured reliance and confidence in God's character, in his ability, and in his strength? It is also believing that someone is reliable, they are good, and they are honest. God cannot lie. The Holy Spirit guides into all truth. So if and when he gives us a direction or a leading that doesn't tickle our flesh and makes us want to recoil and go, oh, no, not there. I want to speed. What do you mean take my foot off the accelerator? And he says, slow down. When he says, no, don't go out this day, there's something I want you to do at home. When he says, yes, I want you to give that amount. I know you were planning for a trip overseas, but I want you to sow that amount. In that moment, do we have relied confidence on his character, his ability, and his strength? Do we really believe that he is reliable, that he's good, and that he's honest? To follow God, we must have trust in who he said he is and what he said he will do. So these are the two questions I want all of us to ask ourselves. You don't need to answer them to me. It's between each of us and God. Two questions. Do I really trust God after everything you've heard today? Not based on your feelings, not based on decisions, not based on anything else you're looking at. But after we heard today, do I really trust God? And the answer, and the second question is, if your answer is yes, then am I following his lead or mine? I pray we all receive something today, much, much for us to feed on spiritually, because I know it's got me chomping on some things.